All right. Well, I didn't mention, but managed to get the rest of the siding on yesterday. So just like the corners and one piece on the end and the trim around the windows. And I think then the outside will be done except for the guttering and the porch. We've got to seal in the porch. And what else can we think of here? It just goes on and on. But anyway, the outside of the building's covered, and that's good. That's a major step, and thankful about that. Got the water lines and everything ran yesterday as much as I could until I ran out of stuff. I've got a little bit of electrical stuff to do yet. The outside lights, I can put them on now. And so we're getting there. We're going to start on the platform this week. Hopefully, I'll get everything here and we can get started on it and get that built. And Seth left that bathtub in there the other night, and I told him, you know, somebody comes out here and looks in the window there, no telling what they'll be telling around town we're going to do out here now. So far, they've said we're going to have a karate lessons out here, and I don't know what else, something else I heard about. But yeah. They thought we were a flea market. Had a guy come here one day and come in and saw us all and wanted to know where all the stuff was. I said, well, man, this is a church. There's a sign right down by the road. Well, I seen that, but I just, you know, I guess didn't think it counted. But anyways, all right, let's go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. I'm going to read just two verses here, verses 4 and 5. We'll read this morning. And we'll try to bring a little short message here about what Jesus, just another aspect of what he's talking about here. All right. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I never really studied that as close as I did this time to kind of understand what Jesus was saying, how it's connected to the rest of the story. You know, this is right after he said, well, this man didn't sin, neither did his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. And then he said this, I must work the works of him that sent me. All right. Father, thank you for the service this far. Thank you for the good Sunday school lesson and for the songs we've sang together. Thank you for the songs of your people through the years, the hymns. Thank you for the song books that we have that we can. It's a treasure. And I pray we would never decide to cast it aside for the shallow, empty things that others are going after nowadays. I pray you'd help us to realize the value of the songs of the ages of your people. Bless the Word of God now, and I pray you'd help as we try to preach and bring this message. Give us clarity of mind and strength to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, I must work. I must work. Jesus didn't come to sit around. God didn't send him here just to take up space or to, you know, just sit in state, as you might say. He's a king, but he didn't come to sit around. He didn't come to sit on a throne. He came to work. I must work. Be busy. Be busy. He worked as a carpenter for the first 30 years of his life, as far as we can tell from what the scripture said. That's what he did. That's how he occupied his time up until this point. He never was idle. An idle mind is what? Devil's workshop. That's right. And so that's in the Bible. No, the Bible doesn't say it in those words, but I can tell you that that is the truth. And there's plenty of scripture to back it up. The word means occupation. That's what the word means. We think of work as like picking cotton or cutting trees or sawing boards or shoveling dirt, you know, digging holes. Well, work is more than that. Work, when you look it up and study the word to see what it means, that's what it really means. It's as common even now to hear somebody say when they want to ask you what kind of work do you do, they say, what's your occupation? If you fill out papers, that's what it'll say, occupation. That means, what do you do? What do you do with your time? What do you do with your life? What do you spend your strength on? What's the main business of your life? I must work the works of Him that sent me. It's a theme in Jesus' preaching all the way around. And in His talking to the people, He was here to do the will of the Father. He was here to do the work of the Father. Not His own will, not His own pleasure, not His own thing that just was fulfilling for His own little life on earth. No, He was here for a purpose. Do you think you're here for a purpose? You think you're here to sit and state? Think you're here to just occupy space? And eat and drink and be merry until you die, and that's what your life's, that's why you're here? You think you're made in the image and likeness of God, and God doesn't have a purpose for you being? Every person that was ever born is individual and unique, and God made each of us different, and He put us in a certain place. He put us in a certain family. He put us in a certain time in human history, and He has a purpose for us to be here. And Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. Jesus is a pattern for all of us. If we're going to follow Him, then we must follow in His footsteps, and we must have the mind of Christ, and we must live our lives as He lived His life. He did it to show us how to live, how to walk with God, how to do God's work, how to do God's will while we are alive, which is our day. We have a day. In my day, you know, we hear that said a lot. My day is my life, my time to work on earth. When I was a child, I couldn't do anything. Neither could you. These children can't do much as far as work. They're learning. They're being prepared for the work that God had for them on this earth. What if half of the people did the work that God put them here to do? What if just 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 100 people actually did what God put them on this earth to do? What do you think it would do to this world? You think it'd change this world? I guarantee you it would change this world. This is an important thing that we need to get this morning. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh. Jesus was on the earth for a purpose, and He was always about that purpose. And He didn't waste time, and He didn't miss anything that God had appointed for Him in His life while He was here, because He stayed focused on the purpose that He was here. He never deviated. He never wandered from what His purpose for being here was. When He got up in the morning, that this day was the day that the Lord hath made. And He went about God's business that day. We waste our days, don't we? We let them slip by and we accomplish nothing. We did nothing. Do you ever go to bed thinking, man, what a wasted day? But we think in terms of earthly things. We think, how much did I get done of what needs to be done? We stay occupied trying to maintain our junk that we've accumulated and our little kingdom that we rule over and keep everything working and everything neat and everything in its place and keep from losing what we've gained in as far as the world. And that's what we spend our strength, our time, our mind, our energy on. That's what we do. And it's a waste. No wonder Solomon said it's vanity, vanity. All of that is vanity. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. All the rest of it is vanity. Jesus didn't spend 1 minute of His life in vanity while He was here, while it was day, while the light was here, while before the night came. He didn't waste any of it in vanity. God's work was His purpose, and to Him His life had no meaning other than that. John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Finish His work. And then you know what His last words were. It is finished. What a way to go. You know, and I've told you before, Brother Rice used to say that about those words, that it had a close correlation with the shout that they shouted at the end of the battle when they won. In other words, that shout was victory. We've won. The victory has been won. It is finished. He didn't quit in the middle. He didn't faint by the way. He didn't get distracted from it by the vanity of life, or by His own pleasures and desires. He finished the work that God sent Him to do. And that ought to be the goal of our life. Don't you? You ought to want to do what God put you here to do. You say, I don't know what God put me here to do. Well, we're fixing to see. I think we're fixing to see it right here. He saw every opportunity God gave him because he was looking for it. We miss opportunities because we're not looking. You ever go away from a situation or a person or an encounter with somebody and think, why didn't I say this? What? Why wasn't I ready in my mind? My mind was distracted with everything else, and there was this opportunity and I missed it. Jesus never grieved over an opportunity missed because he didn't miss any. He was ready always to give an answer to every man that asks him. We're not. Although that's what the Bible instructs us to be. Be ready. Have your mind in that state, in that readiness of mind, to be able to say the right thing at the right time, like Jesus did. He did, you know. He always said the right thing at the right time. And he knew just what to say. Well, he was God. Yeah, but he said, the works that I do, shall ye do also. Yeah, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I send the Comforter. I'm going to send you help. I'm going to enable you to do what I'm doing. And even more than I'm doing. And here we sit 2,000 years later and look at the world and what a mess it's in. And we're without excuse. It's our laziness and our carelessness. And we don't say, I must work. We say, I must rest. Yeah. I must have some pleasure in life. Well, there's no greater pleasure than doing the work that God sent us to do. You'll never find the satisfaction and the pleasure in things of this world. No matter what it is, whether it's money or whatever else, you'll never find the satisfaction and the pleasure and the contentment in any of that that you'll find in just doing the will of God and being the light of the world. While it is day. Day is the time for working. For doing things. I've always said that. I tried to work at night one time for about 6 months and it liked to kill me. I know other people that have tried it and had the same experience. I've known a few people who said, oh, I'd rather work at night. Well, There's reasons for that a lot of times. Sometimes their wives so mean they'd rather be at work than at home. They get to stay home all day while she's gone somewhere else. Yep. Night is for sleeping. Day is for working. Yes. The darkness is not the time when God works. Say, well, I don't know about that. The day only lasts for a limited amount of time. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. That means day doesn't last forever. Life doesn't last forever. Your life on earth. Jesus' life was not going to last forever on this earth. He was here for a set amount of time. So many days, so many hours, so many minutes. And it was over. Done. The night came. And no man can work. Not in the night. Not this work. The night cometh when no man can work. The night is not for working. And there's a lot of work that simply can't be done at night, no matter how hard you try. There's a lot of things at night that you just can't do. This world's not working too well, is it? Trying to run around the clock. I'm going to have to have some water. Well, no wonder I'm slipping around here. There's something under my feet here. Let me get a drink here real quick. What in the world? Yeah, I can't help it. It just, I don't know what goes haywire here, but I can't. If I push it too far, I'm done. The night is not for working. The work of God can only be done in the light while it is day and the light is shining. The night cometh and God's work will stop. Whatever you're going to do for God, are you listening? You're going to do it in your lifetime here.
Yes. Right.
In your short little lifetime. You think it's long, don't you? It's not. It's short. You don't realize it when you're young, but the night cometh. You just don't think about it. These little children, for example, it's a perfect picture of what I'm talking about. They don't think about night all day long. I mean, the farthest thought from their mind is bedtime. And I mean, even when bedtime is here, they don't want to accept it. It's like they get a second burst of energy to prove that they don't need to go to bed. They don't need to go to bed. Not tired. But that's the way all of us are.
Oh, yeah.
We keep it throttled wide open until you just run plumb out of gas.
That's it.
And then you realize the night cometh. There is such a thing as night. Day doesn't last forever. There is such a thing as day and night. And we have the day to work. The day to work. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's true of all of our lives. We only have so much time to do whatever we're going to do on this earth. Work must be done within a framework of time. You see, when God sent His Son to the earth and gave Him a work to do, He also gave Him a certain amount of time to do it in. Jesus was bound by time.
Yes.
And whatever He was going to do for God, He had to do it in that time frame.
That's right.
We don't value time like we should. It's true of all of us too. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day." Did you hear that?
Yeah.
We are not of the night nor of the darkness.
Right.
We're not. Whatever we do, we're not going to do it without light.
That's right.
Jesus did not fall into the same delusion that all of us do, though in ignoring that fact and living as if our day is going to last forever. Jesus didn't fall into that. That's why he said this. Why was this man born blind? Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus realized the urgency. We don't feel any urgency, do we? We got time. We got time. Just take it easy. A lot of times we'll say, wait on the Lord. Well, we got to do a lot of waiting. But we can get lazy in that idea too. We can use that as an excuse to just kick back and not do nothing. And let opportunities slide by. Days are passing. Each day is a little piece of our day. He wasn't talking about this 24-hour day here. He was talking about life. Yeah. Time is running out. I got to be busy. There's no time to waste. There's many more like this man. There's many more. Look upon the fields, for they're white unto harvest. They're already white unto harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest, he send forth laborers in his fields. There was an urgency and he felt it, and we don't. You don't until the time is near, until you're just about out of time, and then you realize,
yep, that's right,
there's not enough time now. I don't have enough time. Have you ever been late and think, I'll make it, but then that moment dawns upon you, it's too late.
Yeah, that's right.
There's not enough time, and I'm not going to make it. That's sad to come to the end of your life and realize that. Psalm 90 and verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to guard against falling into this delusion that we fall into. It's the devil's lie that you got plenty of time. If you're, you know, when the preaching of the Word of God is anointed and the call is sent out in a meeting and you give an altar call and God has dealt with a heart and they're under conviction, what does the devil say to them? Not now. Just wait. Think this over some more. You got time. You got time. Yeah. Felix said, I'll call for you at a convenient time. Not today, Paul. I hear you. And he trembled when he heard Paul's preaching of judgment and righteousness and all of that. But and all he said was, I'm going to get saved, Paul, but not today. I'll call you. Did he? No. No. So the devil's big lie is you got plenty of time. Take your time. Don't worry about it. Don't be in a rush. Don't feel pressured. You don't have to. You don't have to be some superstar or something. Just coast along and take it easy. Teach us to number our days, so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How many days do you think you got left? If we could number our days here today, all of us in here, each one of us, how many days do you think you have left? Well, everybody thinks they got a lot of them left. You know, some of the older ones in here are thinking, well, I probably ain't got very many, but you think you got more than you probably really do. Really? We're not thinking in numbers. We're just thinking in vague, blurred up. We don't see a number. What if you could see a number? I mean, you go to the doctor and they say, well, you got 6 months to live. Well, that's just an estimate and a guess on their part. Yeah. Might have 6 months, might have 2 months. I've heard them give people 6 months to a year and they died in 2 weeks. Yeah. I've seen that happen. I've seen them give people 6 months and they've lived for decades. Yeah. That happens too. But Lord, teach us to number our days. Well, you can take a pretty good guess. I mean, if you're, you know, barring any kind of accidents or anything else, best scenario. Take your best scenario. No accidents, no sicknesses, no cancer, nothing like that. And figure out how many days you got left. Might surprise you how few those days are. When you get to be 60, 70, 80 years old, you get to figuring a little closer than that. Boy, then you start seeing numbers that are a lot smaller. I remember Michael Pearl had a heart attack when he was in his late 50s, and I remember reading what he said. He said, it dawned on me when all that happened that I probably just got about 10 years left. I mean, he said, that's what I got to look at. He said, whatever I'm going to do, I've got that much time to do it. Yeah. So he said, I determined to use my time more wisely and to not waste days and hours of my time. Why did we have to get old and sick and then before we realize that and do something about it? I mean, that's what the message is here this morning. Jesus summed up his work on earth as this. As long, in verse 5, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now that's tied with what he said about I must work the works for him that sent me while his day. He said, I am the light. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Now Jesus took every opportunity to be the light of the world. And then he said to us in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that see it, that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Did y'all listen to that? I mean, that's a common verse and you've heard it so many times, but did you listen to what he really said? Nobody lights a candle and hides it. Nobody, you know, a city that's set on a hill can't be hid. It's all lit up. When you're traveling at night and you're coming close to a city, you can see the light in the sky long before you see the city, can't you? Can't hide it. There's too much light there shining. Not the right kind of light, but there's lights. You can't hide a city on a hill. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. You don't do that. So let your light shine. So shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Which is in heaven. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Y'all staying with me?
Yep.
Must work the works of him that sent me. What's his work? He's the light of the world. He's the light of the world. Light makes it possible to see. And without light, everyone's blind and can't see. Without light, we can see nothing. But what good's light without sight?
Yes. There you go.
Well, the world goes on whether we can see it or not. Everything happened around this blind man. He was over 40 years old, been blind all of his life since birth, never saw a thing, but the world went right on. All around him. He was in the middle of it. He could smell the smells. He could hear the noises and the voices. And he could feel, but he couldn't see. There was light. The light was not the problem. The problem was that he was blind. He had no sight. So you can be where light is and still have no sight. You're blind. That's what being blind is. I mean, that's just the very most simple explanation I can give, or anybody could give, of being blind. There's light, but you can't see it. You have eyes, but you can't see. All the processes of life and the physical world continue as God designed them to work, whether we see them and understand them or not. Whether you see or not doesn't stop the universe. Doesn't stop the world from turning. Doesn't stop people from being born, people dying. Doesn't stop the work of God. It doesn't stop anything just because you can't see it. Or because you don't understand it. So having sight is the most important thing. The sun can be shining at its brightest, and all of God's creation can be living and moving, but if we're blind, we can't see it. And you see, that's the situation of the human race. They have eyes to see, but they see not. Jesus healed a blind man here and gave him his sight. But the whole world is blind. And it's what we said last week. Jesus healed this blind man so that we could see. He opened the eyes of many more than just this blind man.
Yes, sir.
By healing this blind man and giving him his sight. Then God put it in the Word of God and preserved it forever. So that we're reading about this 2,000 years later. The light of the world gave sight to the blind. And that is the work he came to do. Is it not? That's what he said there in Luke chapter 4, where he made his opening statement in his ministry. He asked for the book and they brought it, and he read in Isaiah about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He sent me to. And one of the things was to give sight to the blind. To open their eyes that they could see. And he's not talking about physical blindness. He's talking about, don't you see? There's people here this morning, without a doubt, in this little crowd, there's people who are blind. They see, but they're blind. The light is here, but they don't perceive it. They don't understand it. They can't see. I don't know where you're at this morning, but some see and some don't. And that's the way it always is. You can be in the very presence of the light of the world and not get it. They were all around Jesus. The Jews, the Pharisees, I mean, they got one-on-one conversation with him. Judas lived and walked and worked with him and stayed blind. In the very presence of the light of the world. The one who said, let there be light. Then he commanded and enabled those who follow him to be the light of the world. See, the light of the world, Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And he commanded and enabled those who follow him to be the light of the world. And then it is still Jesus who opens the eyes of the blind. But when there's no light, it would do them no good. How can he open their eyes to see when there's no light? Ye are the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world, Jesus said. And he said, ye are the light of the world. Now, he's gone from this world. Everybody likes to think he comes down and sits on their bed and he, you know, flies around with him, following him on a cloud and all kinds of stuff. They carry him around their neck on a chain. They got him hanging in their churches on a cross. Jesus is not here. He's at the right hand of the Father on high, preparing to come back. For his own. And until that happens, ye are the light of the world.
That's right.
So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If there's light, Jesus can open their eyes so they can see. If there's no light, how's Jesus going to open their eyes? And if he did, what would they see? Nothing. They couldn't see anything with no light. First the light, then the sight. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw. See? And God saw. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw. That's what it says right here. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Wonderful. Yes. Wonderful book. So that's so simple. Oh, yeah, but it says so much. The foundation of everything is right there. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw. Light first, then sight. Without light, there's no sight. What a wonderful thing God has done to open our blinded eyes so that we can see. John Newton wrote in Amazing Grace, once I was blind, but now I see. The title of that book we read, Once Blind. Nothing describes it better, does it? Those words describe the testimony of a person who has been in darkness and born into God's kingdom. That describes it better than any other thing. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. He didn't say enter. He said see.
That's right. Yep.
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so that's the way I feel. I mean, I remember being dark. No understanding. Mm-hmm. Just like everybody else in the world. In the darkness. In the darkness. And I remember having my eyes opened so that I could see and begin to understand. When there is light, and people refuse to see the things which the light reveals, then they are blind on purpose and guilty before God. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. That's the condemnation. Light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. John 9 and verse 39, this same chapter down in verse 39, he said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Wow. The Pharisees said, are we blind? He said, you say you see, therefore your sin remaineth. Why did he come? For judgment I'm come. That's in this same chapter, chapter 9. For judgment I'm come, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. So that's the condemnation. When the light shines and you refuse it, that's the condemnation. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Jesus came to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to that they which see not might see. Well, I was one of them. Were you? Are you? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13, let's read here. I'm going to read three or four verses here. Listen to what Jesus said to explain this. He said, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand." Whoa. "By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive." I feel bad for anybody that sits in church and doesn't perceive what's being said. If anything's being said worth perceiving. And it is right now. I feel bad for you if you can't perceive. If you're right there, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. "For this people's heart is waxed gross." It's not your eyes that are the problem. It's your heart. It's your stubborn heart that won't yield to God. That's why you can't see. That's why you can't understand. That's why you have all the problems. We preached here a couple of weeks ago about how if any man will do his will, he shall know of the dark. You're not going to understand till you're willing, till your stubborn heart, and you yield your will to God. Then you'll understand. Then you can see. Otherwise you can't. That's what Jesus is saying right here. "Your heart is waxed gross, and her ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." You remember Brother Owen telling about the deaf girl that came to church and her mother was sitting beside her interpreting for her with her hands, you know, with sign language. And after a little bit, that girl kept getting agitated, the deaf girl did, at what the preacher was saying. And she reached over and held her mom's hands. Didn't want to hear anymore. It's a lot more visible when it's like that. See, people can sit in church and you know, I've had people do this, you know, shake her head at me. But I don't believe I've ever seen anybody go like this, you know, plug her ears. They did that to Jeremiah. They stopped their ears, turned her back, and said, "We'll not listen to anything he says." So what Stephen told him, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." That's the way they were. That's the way people are still. That's why they don't see. That's why they don't understand. It's why they're blind. They're blind because of their stubborn heart that won't yield. There's light. There is light in the world. The world's an evil place right now. The darkness is creeping in badly, but there's still light in this world. And there's probably more light than we even know about or like to think about. I see God working more now than I did when I was younger. Really, I do. I really believe I do. The evil, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's a fact. And that's the way it works. In such an evil time as this, you can expect God's grace to be working. Yes, sir. In accord with the ascent of evil, it works that way. I just see a lot more going on. All right, Matthew 5:16, where it said a while ago, let your light, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." All right, so we are what we see in the light. We must tell others. About done here. And show to others. I must work the works of him that sent me. What is the works? What is it?
Being the light.
I must work the works of Him that sent me. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. That applies to me and you as well.
That's right.
I must work the works of Him that sent me. Are you sent? Has God sent you? I don't mean you got to be a preacher or a missionary or sent to some other place. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are His witnesses.
Right.
We are His body here on this earth. So we are sent. All of us are. You are, I am, and not sent to church so we can learn some more. That's part of what we're here doing, but that's not what we're here for. That's not our purpose for being here. Our purpose for being here is to be the light of the world. And where there's light, God can give sight. Light's not enough without sight. God can fix the whole thing, see? It's 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, 10. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. That's a fact. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And then in John 13, this goes together. John 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one to another. So letting our light shine only happens when we're good to one another and to others, and people see it.
Yeah, very true.
That's just what it boils down to. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother.
Right.
Do you know where most people are this morning? They're in darkness. They're not in light. You know what's going on in their homes and everywhere people are today? They're cussing each other and hating each other and fighting and struggling and striving with one another. They're doing evil to one another. They're hurting one another. That's darkness. That ain't light.
That's right.
Light and love go together.
Yes,
light and life and love go together. We're the light of the world. And when we say we're in the light and we hate our brother, we're liars. What it says right there.
Right.
We're liars. That ain't so, says God. That is not true. If you're in the light, you're going to love your brother. And you're going to love other people. And you're going to do good to them. What Seth was talking about in Sunday school. Even if they don't do good to you.
That's right. That's it.
Got that old time religion. What does it do? Makes me love everybody. It's true. That's biblical. Sound doctrine is what that is. That provides light. Then Jesus can provide the sight. Let your light shine. Be good to people. Even when they're bad to you. Is that hard? Now what if you know that now. And you go out there. And you're. How can I say it? Contentious. Hard to get along with.
Yeah.
I mean pushy. Contrary. Stubborn. Got to have your way. You'll fight for it. I mean, are you walking in the light? No, you're not. You can say Jesus all you want to, but you're not walking in the light. Your light is not shining. Your light is only shining when you're being charitable. When you're being good to other people. That gives the light. That gives the opportunity. There's so much more here about Jesus healing this blind man. This is a different situation here. He healed more blind men than this one. But this one is special. There's a lot of unique things to this that reveal basic important things like this morning. Not just light, but sight. People need to see. You can't see without light. I cannot see without light. And the older I get, the more light I need to see. I'm talking about reading, about seeing to work. I've got this little light now to wear on my head to work here. It does wonders. Man, it helps me so much because I can see what I'm doing. The light. Shine some light. How about this week? Be light. A lot of people like the salt. They like to be the salt, but they don't have much light. Well, they go together. Can't be light without salt, and you can't be salt without light. You're the salt of the earth, that's right. But we're the light of the world. There's no hope for. Do you ever consider that? God's people are the only hope, really. I really do believe that. I don't believe there's any hope in the politics or any of the world. The world doesn't have a plan that's going to work. The world is on a course to destruction. So plain to see. And they have no answers. And most of the people who call themselves Christians are right on board with them, just a hooping and hollering, if you just listen to us, and they ain't got no more light than they do. The answer is right here this morning in little places like this where a few people are gathered together. Just all it takes is a little bit of light. When it's flat dark and zero light, a tiny little light makes a world of difference. A candle. You know, if it was black dark in here, one little candle would be much appreciated and it would help. Much. So a little bit makes a lot of difference. Remember that. Yeah. Just that kind word. Just that smile. I've told people for years, you know, man, learn how to smile at people. Yes. That's all it takes.
Oh, yes.
It makes a difference in this world. It makes a difference in somebody else's day, their attitude, the direction of their mind. A smile.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of a snarl.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's so easy. It takes so little out of us. It costs us so little. Why don't we just let our light shine? Amen. Amen. Let's stand. I must work the works of Him that sent me. Jesus didn't say, I want to work the works, or I'm going to work the works. It wasn't anything like that. I must. Every word of God is exactly right, the way it's written. I guarantee you can get you some other version. It'll say it all different, take away all the meaning of it. I must work the works. That's the urgency, the obligation. I must. I have no other choice. I can't live with myself if I do it any other way.
Right.
I can't walk away from this blind man and act like I never seen him.
Right.
I must do something. I must do what I can.
Yes.
No matter how little it is. Man, we need to have that kind of attitude. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. It's so wonderful, so clear. Helps us so much. We're without excuse for being so lazy and careless in our walk in this world. Help us to have this morning the urgency of realizing the time is limited and the time is shorter than we think. And there is an urgency about things that we need to. We must be about your business while it's day. We can surely see, the whole world can see, the night cometh. The night is coming when no man can work. And we're getting more and more limited in the things we used to do that we thought was a way to reach people. And help us, Lord, to realize that no laws, No restrictions by the government. Not even a prison that they could put us in could stop us from being the light of the world. It doesn't matter where they put us. We can let our light shine and do the work that you sent us here to do. Pray you'd help us to realize the potential and the power of that. And apply it now in our lives. We go from here. Help us, Lord, to be ready. Be more attentive. Have our mind more focused in this purpose that you've put us here to do. Go with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.